This is Crappy to Happy, and I am your host, Cass Dunn. I'm a clinical and coaching psychologist and mindfulness meditation teacher, and of course, author of the Crappy to Happy books. In this show, I bring you conversations with interesting, inspiring, intelligent people who are experts in their field and who have something of value to share that will help you feel less crappy and more happy. Welcome to another solo episode of Crappy to Happy. Today, I have a topic that was brought to me by somebody who listens to the podcast and who asked for my advice about how to deal with disappointment when other people have let you down or not met your expectations. I thought this is a great topic because it is so universally experienced. We have all felt disappointed or let down by somebody in our lives. Now, whether that is your partner, a friend, parent, family member, having an expectation or having an idea that somebody is going to behave in a particular way and then they don't can be really painful, and it can really drive a wedge in your relationships, obviously. And we know that the relationships in our lives, the social connections in our lives, are the most important factor in our happiness, our well-being, our health long-term. Relationships are essential to surviving and thriving in this life. And if we have unhealed rifts, if we have disappointments that are unexpressed, if we allow these things to build up and get in the way, if we're not communicating how we really feel, then over time, then these little issues or big issues can compound. So I want to share just a few ideas about how you might be able to navigate a situation if you are feeling disappointed by somebody in your life. First up, whenever I hear I feel disappointed in somebody, I feel like I've been let down or betrayed even by somebody, the first quote that always comes to mind for me is Anne Lamott's quote, and she said, "Expectations are resentments under construction." That is so true. The more we have expectations of people about how we think people should treat us or how they should behave or what they should be doing or what we require of them in order for us to be happy with them, the more likely it is that we are going to end up feeling resentful and disappointed. But then you have to ask, well, is it really that unreasonable to have expectations of people? Like, should we not hold people to certain standards or have an expectation that they will behave in a way that is supportive or considerate or thoughtful, that they should keep us in mind when they make their decisions and choose to behave however they behave? So it is about finding the balance, isn't it, between how much we expect of other people, and then it's also, I think, how well do we express those expectations? And if they're not met, then it is how do we deal with the resulting feelings of disappointment and feeling let down? How reasonable is it to express to somebody that you really feel disappointed, particularly if maybe you haven't been clear about your expectations? So let's break this all down. Let's look at what you can do about it from the perspective of how you relate to this incident, like how you think about what has happened. Because remember, thought work is important work. Looking at your own ideas and the stories that you tell yourself in any situation can be very helpful. But then how do you also manage the emotional response to that? And how do you prevent that from potentially really causing a rift in what could otherwise be a very, very important relationship in your life? So the first thing that I always ask myself, or maybe not the first thing, but at some point, whenever I am feeling annoyed with another person, if I'm feeling like somebody has not done what I would like them to do, and it could be somebody who works for me, it could be somebody in my personal life, I think I've shared with you before that I think it can be really useful to ask myself, and I do try to ask myself, where am I angry with me? Where am I disappointed or upset with myself in this situation? Usually, if I am looking out at somebody and feeling annoyed or frustrated or irritated that they have not done something that I would have liked them to do, or they've gone and done something that I would have preferred them not to do, for example, then when I just ask that question, where am I angry with myself, and turn the lens back onto me rather than projecting all of my disappointment and my negative emotions outwards onto that person, a very blaming kind of position, then usually I will find within myself some responsibility. I will find that I have not been very clear in expressing what I was hoping. I haven't been completely honest about what I would have liked to happen. There is usually some shared responsibility in the situation. And it's not that I turn that into self-blame and take it all on myself, but what it just really helps me to do personally is to have a little bit more of a balanced perspective. So that instead of kind of staying stuck in this outward focused blaming, it's all other people's fault, somebody else's mistake or somebody else's problem that's causing me to feel this way, I can at least be willing to take on a share of the responsibility for the situation, which can help take some of the sting out of how I feel towards the other person. And it can help me to approach a conversation with a little bit more of a balanced perspective so that I'm not going in, if I do choose to have a conversation with the person, I'm not going in full of blame and only then putting them on the back foot and having them go into feeling defensive and have it turn into a conflict that it doesn't need to be. So that would be my recommendation to anybody in any situation where you feel disappointed by somebody else. Where are you disappointed with yourself? What could you have done differently yourself in this situation? Some other things to think about if you're feeling disappointed in somebody else's behavior is to look at, where did your expectations come from? Particularly if they are not expectations that you communicated directly with the person. If you have some sense of what somebody else should be doing, a story about what a good friend would do, what a supportive partner would do, what a loving parent would do, and you're not seeing that in the people in your life, and that is causing that gap, that mismatch is what is creating your feeling of disappointment, I think it's really important to ask yourself, where did you get those expectations? Are you looking around at other people's relationships and comparing in a negative way? Have you formed this idea that a good sister would willingly offer to throw the baby shower or the hen's party or whatever it is, that hasn't happened? A supportive husband, are you seeing other people's husbands or other people's partners do things for them, support them in a way that you're not experiencing in your relationship? And it's this comparison that is causing you to feel disappointed and causing you to feel let down. Because remember, there's loads of different kinds of relationships. There's loads of different stories and behaviors. But if you're hooking on to something and holding that as the ideal, and then your own relationship is falling short of that, that can be a really unfair comparison. This person is in a competition that they don't even know that they're in necessarily. And so again, it really does come back to communication, like sharing with the person what it is that your expectations are, and then giving them the opportunity to tell you if they can meet that expectation. It's not always a case of, this is what my expectation is, that's it, it's on you, now step up to the plate. Like, when you express what you would like from somebody in your life, you are asking them if they are willing and able to do that for you. And you have to be willing to accept that the answer might be no, like that they may say, I can't do that for you. Ideally, what you would hope is that they might come back and say, well, I can't do that, but I can do this. Or what about this as a compromise? But at least then you've had a conversation and you can both be very clear about what's going to happen. Now, if they express that they're going to do something or behave in a particular way and then they don't, well, then you are right to be disappointed. Like, then you've got some grounds to actually be disappointed. And in that case, you know, then it's up to you to decide what your continued relationship with that person is going to be. You know, it may be a case that if somebody is continually letting you down, if you're continually being disappointed by somebody, then the choice needs to be, do I just drop my expectations completely? Do I not have any expectation at all this person is going to do the things that I would like them to do, but the relationship is important enough that I'm prepared to take them on any terms and have them in my life? Because when you let go of the expectation, you let go of the possibility that you're going to be disappointed. Or do you decide, actually, you know what? I actually don't need that relationship in my life at all. It is not worth it to me to be continually let down. So they're your options, really, if there is somebody who is continually disappointing you. Letting go of expectations could be the solution. It could be that if you are being constantly disappointed, but you can't see a life, you know, without this person, or are there reasons that you feel that it's important for this person to still be in your life, then maybe it is actually on you to just drop your expectation and just take whatever you get and be happy for that. And I know many people who have had a much lighter relationship, who have experienced much more peace of mind when they've actually realized that they need to just let go of all of their expectations and just take whatever the other person is willing to give when they're willing to give it. But constantly having expectations not met is just too painful. So that is all well and good. You can take steps yourself to take action to express what you would like to see in another person. You can make choices about your relationship with the person. You can change the way you know, the standards that you set for people, lower your standards basically, in order to not be disappointed. But what do you do with the emotional aspect of this? So your disappointment hurts. Feeling let down feels painful. Wanting something from a relationship or from a person who is important to you and having them not meet that expectation is emotionally hard. So, you know, we can talk about the behavioral and the thinking way to deal with this, which is kind of what I was telling you in my last episode about imposter syndrome, but we also have emotions. And we also can come at this from a deeper kind of a level to help us to feel more emotionally balanced with the situation. So what I would suggest, if you're feeling disappointed and if you're really in that story of somebody has really not stepped up in a way that you would like them to, then I would encourage you to really get in touch with where you feel that emotion in your body. We feel every emotion in our body. So, you know, you might even do this now, is just to sit with, connect with where is it located in my body. Breathe into that space, into that sensation, and allow it to be there. Make space for it to be there. This is not about staying stuck in the story of what they should have done and how an awful partner or friend they are and all of that, which is just going to maintain the story and maintain the emotion. This is getting out of the story and actually going directly to the source, to the emotional response in your body. When you can breathe into that feeling, make space for it. Every emotion just wants to be acknowledged. It just wants to be felt. And if we're not acknowledging it and feeling it, then what we're doing is denying it, avoiding it, suppressing it. We can come up with all sorts of defensive strategies which don't help in the long run. So we want to get very present to the fact that this hurts, this feels painful. And then as you breathe in, you make space for that emotion. You might put a hand on your own heart, a hand on your belly, wherever you feel that emotion, and just send yourself some kindness. Like, just acknowledge to yourself that this is painful. This feels, you know, hurtful. I feel sad. Yeah, I feel really let down. I feel disappointed. And so get clear about what that feeling is and then offer yourself some friendliness. Offer yourself the same sort of friendliness and compassion and kindness that perhaps you would offer to somebody else who is experiencing a similar disappointment. What would you say to your best friend if that person was feeling what you're feeling? And allow yourself to receive that as well. When we can meet our own vulnerable emotions, make space for them, and offer ourselves some kindness, then we almost kind of neutralize the defensive resistance to those painful emotions. And we, from that place, we can start to make choices about how we move forward. The other thing that I would suggest is that as you connect with this emotion, as you connect with this feeling in your body, you've gone to the sensation in your body, just ask yourself, does this feel familiar? Have I felt this feeling before, or is this brand new? I'm going to suggest that more often than not, this is a familiar feeling, that I've felt this before. And you may even be able to go point to a specific memory of a time when you felt disappointed or let down. You might go all the way back to a childhood experience where you felt disappointed in somebody. And so it's important to remember too that sometimes what's happening in the present moment, what's happening in this current relationship in your life, is it's actually kind of triggering something that's happened a long time ago. So you've had an experience where you felt disappointed or let down, and that has been painful. And then what happens is your body stores that, your nervous system stores that experience as a kind of a reminder that you don't want this to happen again. It's a sort of a protective function. We move out of our safety and connection into self-protection. And so then you're on high alert for this ever happening again. So somebody does something or doesn't do something, now that you're a full-grown adult out in the world and you have this experience of disappointment being triggered, your experience, your emotional response at that moment can be very different from somebody else. Somebody else might have the same thing happen and they don't care. It doesn't bother them at all, because you've got your own unique personal history and you've got your own old stuff that's being activated. So we can go to that part of us, particularly if you're able to go to a memory of maybe when you were much smaller, or maybe you're a teenager, or something that's happened in the past, and offer that part of you, offer that younger version of you, that same reassurance and kindness that you offered to yourself as well. Now, as an adult, go back to the source, go back and reassure that younger version of you that they are worthy and they are deserving and people don't mean to hurt them, or people, it's not your fault. It's not your fault that this is happening. Often when we're very little and we have experiences, we kind of, at some level, we take that on as something to do with us and ourselves. I'm not worthy. I'm not lovable. I'm not smart enough. I'm not good enough. I'm not enough. I'm not worthy. You know, that's very common. So if you can go to that feeling of being let down, and if you can reassure that younger part of you that she is worthy and it's not her fault, it's got nothing to do with her, then that can be really healing as well. And once you've done that, then you're able to kind of reassure that younger part of you that, you know, you've got this now. Like you're the grown up now. The grown up's going to step in and take over from here. Like she doesn't need to keep on tugging on you and, you know, reminding you that people can't be trusted and warning you that people are letting you down. People are going to hurt you. People are going to betray you, because that's what's happening in your current life, right? Potentially what's happening is that you are having experiences in your adult life. You are so vigilant to this idea that somebody might disappoint you or let you down, that you're seeing things in situations that maybe aren't there, or, you know, you're projecting something onto a situation that isn't necessarily true, because this younger version of you is trying to warn you, be careful, you're going to be disappointed, you're going to be let down. What confirmation bias is that once we've experienced something, that we start seeing the evidence of it everywhere. Once I believe people can't be trusted and people will let me down and people won't be there for me in the way that I want them to be, then we start being hypervigilant to looking for examples and situations where that is true. And so we can see things in situations that don't exist because it's our confirmation bias at play. So you can see how this is, there is a cognitive aspect, like there's a psychological aspect to this. There is an emotional aspect to this. There is a somatic aspect to this, like actually calming down your nervous system, like going to that emotion in your body, seeing what's being triggered and activated in your within your body in that nervous system response, and bringing some calming, some self-soothing. That just that putting your hand over your heart, putting a hand on your belly and breathing in kindness to yourself, that's somatic work. That's healing. That's healing your calming your nervous system and cultivating a sense of internal safety in your own body, so that you're not looking outside for other people to make you feel okay. You're not looking outside of you for other people to make you feel loved and worthy. You're creating that on the inside for yourself. And that makes it doesn't make it less likely that people will disappoint you, because, you know, people are going to be how they're going to be. But it does mean that you might be less likely to get really emotionally rocked by that situation when it happens, because you've got your own inner resourcefulness, your own inner sense of safety, you're kind to yourself, compassionate to yourself, and then you're probably going to, from there, be more likely and more willing to be able to be honest in setting your boundaries and setting your expectations and in having conversations with people if they do let you down, because you're not going to be so fearful of rejection or judgment or criticism from other people by you saying how you feel, because you've cultivated that safety inside yourself and that wholeness and worthiness inside yourself. So I hope that has given you something to work with. I hope that at least some of that was helpful. Obviously, everybody's got a different situation, but I guess when we take this inside, if you have had an insight, if you've gained a level of awareness of, oh, this is what's happening. Yeah, there is that old situation that I think is showing up in the present. You know, it's showing up in my current relationships, but it's actually old stuff. It's an old wound that I keep reopening potentially. And then I realize now I've actually just got to go back to that old wound and kind of do some healing work there so that I don't continue to play that out in my current relationships. Then what I would say is, once you've been able to do that, you've been able to resolve some of your own emotional response to this, once you've been able to shift your perspective a little bit, take your own responsibility, look at maybe where I haven't been clear in my communication, then when you do express your expectations of somebody, like I said, all you can do is ask, and then it's up to them whether they can do that for you or not. And then you decide, well, whether that's acceptable. Just remember, if you're asking for some support from somebody, if you have an idea of what you want from somebody else, then you need to be as clear and specific as possible in communicating that. I just want to touch on this quickly because I've talked about this before, and particularly on the topic of, for example, let's say you're trying to lose weight and your partner keeps on ordering pizzas every night, or you're trying to drink less and they keep on cracking open a bottle of red with dinner, or you want your parents, you know, every time they come to visit, you're hoping that they'll babysit for you, but they never do, they never offer. You've got a friend or a family member who keeps on buying plastic crappy toys for your kids, and you've really, you know, you want them to buy something more sustainable. I don't know, whatever it could be. But when you express to a person that you would like their support, then you really need to be clear and specific about what that support looks like, because people aren't mind readers. If you say to somebody, I really could use your support, they're like, yeah, sure, great. Like, what do you need? Be prepared to tell them what you need. Do you need practical support? Do you need somebody to do something physically for you? Do you need emotional support? Do you just want somebody to be able to like understand where you're at and to be able to listen to you? Moral support. I need you to, you know, help me to stick to my commitments here. I'm trying to make a change and I feel like you're sabotaging me at every turn. If you need financial support from somebody, you need them to help you out, then what does that look like? What are the terms? Whatever you need, you can't just say to somebody, I could really use your support. You're really not helping me. And I'm really disappointed and I'm really annoyed and I'm really upset with this. If you can't quantify very clearly what it is that you want from them. So maybe it's worth you having a think about yourself. What is it that I want? And remember, ask yourself, where did I get this expectation? Where did I get this expectation that this is what a good partner, a good friend, or a good sibling would do? And maybe it's not an expectation. Maybe it's not a comparison. Maybe it's just like right now in this moment, this is what I really need. Because we're not very good at that. We're not very good at asking people for what we need. We're pretty good at setting up these stories in our heads about what we think people should do and then feeling let down and disappointed and then going, giving them the cold shoulder and not talking to them when they don't do it. We're not very good at expressing what we need and asking for help. So maybe think about really specifically what you could use and or how that might look, and then be willing to have the vulnerable conversation and express that to somebody and be willing to hear what their response is. I'm going to guess though that 9 times out of 10, people would rather know exactly what it is that you want or need than be trying to guess what it is or be oblivious to the fact that you've got any expectations at all and then being on the brunt of your frustration and disappointment when they fail to meet your expectations, when they never actually knew what your expectations were. So that's my long rambly response to how do I deal with disappointment. I hope there was at least something in there that you found useful and that you can apply in your own relationships. I hope it's given you food for thought. Once again, if you have got anything that you would like me to address on the podcast, please do send me a note. You can DM me on Instagram, castan_XO. Crappy to Happy Pod is also the Instagram account. There are two. Or send me an email, hello@castan.com. Remember, be kind to yourself. Remember, if you're disappointed and let down by yourself, then the same applies. Kindness first, compassionate, self-forgiveness, and go to that part of you that doesn't feel worthy and reassure her or him, I should add, that you absolutely are worthy and deserving. I can't wait to catch you on the next episode of Crappy to Happy.